kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Sup, dude.
What?
Sup, dude.
Fucking kids and your stupid lingo.
Yeah, that's lingo. Everybody around my area goes, sup, up, 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 up.
No, but you say shit like, sup, dude.
People say sup, dude, all the time.
Not with an A, not sap.
Sa. No, they do sa, dudes.
Like, what without the fuck P. is that?
It's S-A-A. S-A-J-J-J.
What is that?
It's just a stupid way of pronouncing sup. Sa.
You friggin' idiot kids. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
No bullshittery answer this time. I'm just doing good.
Not fucking around.
No more stupid, I'm doing gurgly schmurgly. It's just, it's normal.
Good. Although I just said it. So we are live on Mixer today because We'll kick off with the news that Beam is officially dead as a name. Microsoft has changed the name to Mixer, and one of the big new features is that they are going to have a way to mix your stream with up to three friends also streaming and have a split screen multi-stream single stream
streamapalooza.
Yeah basically four streams in one.
I mean, that's not bad. I mean, there's definitely been periods of time before I got my capture card that would have been very, very useful.
Yeah, that could be pretty neat. I just don't know how well it's going to work. Or, you know, we have, you know, sometimes we run into lag issues where there's one of us.
Yeah, that's true. Like, there's a good possibility that they're going to have to do a lot of work to figure out how to stop one screen from delaying from the others.
Yeah. And then they're also going to be adding a dedicated Mixer tab to the Xbox dashboard.
They've already done that, and it's annoying.
Well, in preview.
Yeah, it's annoying in preview. I don't want it in that position.
Why?
Because if I scroll over, I want to see community first.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're in the preview program, so give feedback on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna,
you
because
dipshit.
It's annoying. Not that it's going to change shit.
It might.
But I'm going to be like, yo, I think it would be cool if we could just customize where the tabs are. Because I would just do home, community, store. I don't need one guide or mixer, so they can be over there.
True.
I'll never scroll to them.
And I think mixer having its own tab could be useful.
If you want to search for new streams, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Although I'm generally not a stream watcher.
I agree that community should probably be the next one instead of Mixer right away.
Yeah, it is really weird transition because Mixer's background isn't your homepage background, but your community's is. So you go from your homepage background to gray to your homepage again, and then the homepage and then gray again, and it's like, why?
Bitch.
It's just not synced properly.
Well, then make sure to hop on the preview forums and submit your feedback. That's what being in the preview program is all about, giving feedback.
And I will.
I don't believe you.
You know what? I'll do it right now. I'm joking. I'm not going to do it right now.
Yeah, I think one of the weirdest things is going to be getting used to the new name. Who was it you said on Twitter was saying it sounds like a dating app?
Yeah. Xbox Addict. He said that it just sounded like a bad dating service, which is very true. It does.
Although I had to point out that it's clearly not a dating service because it has like that last vowel there. If it was just M-I-X-R, yeah, now it's a dating app. But with the ER,
oh
it's
my
clearly
God, that would actually be a great mix between Tumblr and Grindr. Then it's Mixer for bisexual people.
Or Grindr for you. Nothing there? Nothing?
No, I'm not going to deny it. I'm
joking. Oh, man.
I don't use any of those apps.
Yeah, apparently one of the main reasons behind the name change was the fact that they couldn't secure Beam as a global name. I guess somewhere in the world, there's someone already has a copyright on it for something that's
really
surprised
Mixer isn't copyrighted.
I don't know. Fucking names, man. It's weird.
6 months, you're going to change Mixer to something else because it was also copyrighted.
Probably. But anyway, let us dive into some actual news of the week. Games with Gold for June have been announced, and holy shit.
Yeah, they're really good this month.
This is a hell of a lineup for June. Let us start with Xbox One. For the entire month of June, brand new release, Speedrunners, is not only coming to console, but it is going to be free on Xbox One.
That is, I was legitimately, I already own it on PC and I was gonna buy it anyway so that me and my friends could play it on Xbox. And now it's like, I don't even have to worry about them being able to afford it because you can.
Yeah.
No arguing with me this time.
And then June 16th through July 15th, let's add to the brand new indie release with a AAA in Watch Dogs is gonna be free.
Which is a game that everybody expected at some point to be free, but it's still pretty damn cool that it's finally happened.
Yeah. And why stop the AAA goodness on Xbox One? Xbox 360, June 1st through the 15th, Assassin's Creed 3.
Which is pretty neat. It's the worst Assassin's Creed, but it's still a decent game.
Which, well, I don't know. Some of those side stories weren't the greatest.
Yeah, but who counts the side stories as the actual real games? Like, I'm talking, like, main games. Assassin's Creed 3 is by far the worst.
But we now have the entire series, main game series, playable on Xbox One.
I mean, I would consider Brotherhood a main game series as well, and that one's not.
It's in the Ezio collection.
I didn't realize. I thought you meant just, like, backwards compatibility.
No, the whole series.
All right, yeah, that makes more sense. I was going to say, the whole series isn't backwards compatible, but yeah.
The only game, I believe, overall from this series that isn't playable is Liberation HD.
Yeah, Liberation isn't. Yeah, that is the only one, isn't it?
Yeah. All the other side stories, Rogue is playable. The Ezio collection has those three. Assassin's Creed 1, the original, is backward compatible. It's... You know, if you like Assassin's Creed, I guess Xbox is the place to play them all.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And then June 16th through the 30th, if you don't already own it through EA Access, you could get Dragon Age Origins for free.
Which is a kind of bullshit maneuver. I mean, it was literally on sale last week for $5 instead of 15, which is kind of a shitty and shifty maneuver, but okay. I passed it up because
Shitty of a maneuver. I mean, it wasn't going to be free for another month, so if you didn't want to wait.
Yeah, but they announced that it was going to be free, so nobody's going to purchase it if they announce it that month. I think that, well, personally, in my opinion, if it's going to be on sale, it shouldn't be Game with Gold until at least the following month after the month that it was. So, like, what I mean is, like, July, it would have been okay. Give people time to actually play the game before you make it free.
Yeah, you have a month to play the game before it's free.
Yeah, but they announced it already. Nobody would have bought it. I mean, give people
Some
time
people might
before
have.
They announced it.
People who didn't
Nobody
have
does
gold.
That unless they're only physical.
I don't know.
I think it's shitty to do that soon. Like, Assassin's Creed 3, perfectly fine to pull that. It hasn't been on sale in, like, a month or two, at least. And it's a brand new backwards-compatible game, so nobody's going to complain.
I don't know. I don't see an issue with it. But whatever. And then, for the whole month of June, they're also going to offer a multiplayer DLC pack for Phantom Dust HD for free as well. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. I might grab the DLC even though I haven't downloaded the actual game yet.
Why? It's free.
Because I don't download every game that's free if I'm not actually that interested in playing it.
Okay.
If I don't care about playing it, why am I going to download it? There's just no point.
I don't know. I'm used to just downloading everything.
Yeah, I mean, you do that. I'm down to less than 400 gigabytes. I'm going to need another external.
Yeah, you should probably jump on that.
Yeah, they're so expensive, though.
Yeah, I just added a handful of games this week because the backward compatibility edition for this week was pretty nice list of games. Nothing available on Thursday, but Tuesday had 5 new games added to the list. Clearly, Assassin's Creed 3 was added to the list. And then they also added Shadow Assault Tenchu, Shinobi, Ilo Milo, and Matt Hazard Bloodbath and Beyond.
That's a funny title.
I enjoyed Eat Lead, so I was excited to see the sequel come to backward compatibility as well.
I still need to play Eat Lead. It's a really easy completion. I should get around to doing it.
It's a fun game, too, and Will Arnett's voice acting is awesome.
Oh, he's in it? Oh, yeah. I'll definitely play it. I didn't know that.
He is Matt Hazard.
That's fucking cool. Love Will Arnett.
Unfortunately, he was not in the sequel, and they made a joke in the game of, like, what, you don't even have a voice actor this time? It's like, we're indie. We don't have money for that anymore.
That's funny.
So, that was fun. Oh, man, what other news has come out in the past week? There's a lot of stuff. Red Dead Redemption is officially delayed to spring 2018.
Well, now if Far Cry is planning on that whole thing, which doesn't really look like it from the picture they released, at least they wouldn't face such a harsh competition right away.
Well, I don't think... Far Cry is like a old Wild West. It takes place in Montana, but it's supposedly present day.
Yeah, well, when they released that picture, it pretty much clarified that it's not like a old Wild West kind of deal anymore.
With like
that's just what people were thinking.
A crazy Christian cult gone wrong, something like that.
It looks pretty neat. I like the picture.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I haven't played a Far Cry game since the worst one ever, though, and that was 2. I hate that game.
Why haven't you played 3?
Because I just never got around to it. I should know that it's backwards compatible.
Oh my god, 3 was so good.
2 was such garbage that I just didn't care to try 3.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
There's more news, so...
it was announced that the number one selling console in April was the Nintendo Switch. Not a surprise, right?
Yeah, no, not surprising at all.
Here's the surprise. The number two selling console of the month was the NES Classic.
That is surprising. You wouldn't think there would be enough NES Classics to make second.
Good thing they discontinued it, huh?
Well, that's the only reason... Yeah. It's so high is because they did that. Now everybody's trying to get a copy, an NES Classic before they're all gone.
Yeah, and that means that it did in fact outsell the 3DS, the Xbox One, and the PS4, and the Vita, if anybody's still actually selling that new.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if anyone's still selling it new anymore. I really don't.
I wouldn't be that surprised. They pretty much cut a lot of the support for it.
Yeah. It's funny to go into stores and look at their Vita section, and there's like 4 games.
Yeah. Pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Oh, well.
Poor things. Speaking of Nintendo news, it looks like the rumors of that Mario and Rabbids crossover are looking more and more real.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, some art assets leaked out that look official enough, but again, there's been no confirmation yet, but it's allegedly called Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. It's going to be a crossover with Ubisoft's Rabbids dressed up in Mario gear, which is hilarious, and then the actual Mario crew with Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Yoshi... The rumors that it's developed entirely by Ubisoft, so Nintendo is basically hands-off with this one.
That's a really interesting idea. I mean, I get it because Rabbids, but still, you would think that Nintendo would be a little more like, we'll take Rabbids and we'll make it.
I think you guys
can publish it, maybe.
I think they're trusting Ubisoft to handle this, and I guess we'll see.
Well...
supposedly a mix of turn-based combat and exploration, and for the first time, the Mario crew are going to have, like, laser guns and bazookas and shit.
Interesting. I mean, it turned me off a little bit when you just said turn-based, but still.
Well, it's going to be an RPG.
Yeah. Still. Turn-based, still.
You're a pussy.
I hate turn-based games.
The rumors and all the news is that it was supposedly going to be officially revealed at E3, and it might still officially be revealed at E3 with a supposed August or September release. So I guess we'll see what happens from here.
That's pretty soon, but I like the way Nintendo does things of announcing it right before they do it rather than letting it fucking sit forever and then delaying it and delaying it.
Yeah.
Because they weren't ready to announce it, but they still do it.
True. Let's see. Crunching Koalas, the team that brought Butcher to console, are going to be bringing a game called Timber Tennis to Steam and consoles. A mobile game coming with added online play, so that should be fun.
Interesting. Tennis game. It's been a little while. I don't think we've seen a tennis game on here in like a year or
we
two.
We haven't. Like the
Except
closest
for
we've
tennis
had
in the phase.
Yeah, and
that's not really a tennis
not
game.
Tennis at all.
It's just a tennis-esque game.
Capcom announced that Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is getting a PS4 and Xbox One release in Japan this fall. No word on a US release at this time, but I am hopeful. I'm kind of bummed that this probably shuts the door on the game joining the backward compatibility program, but I will take this game on current gen any way I can get it.
Yeah. There's ups and downs to at least a separate achievement list, so you can always get more new achievements.
This will be the third achievement list, because Dragon's Dogma and Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen had separate lists.
Interesting.
And now this will be Dark Arisen HD.
Noise. Yep. Why do they have to add an HD to it? It was HD on 360, wasn't it? Just 1080 or 720, something like that.
I don't know if they're going to call it HD or remastered, if it'll just have the same. I don't know what they're doing.
I'd hope not.
We don't even know if this is coming to America yet. Hoping.
That's true.
But we don't know anything official.
It could
yet.
Just be a Japanese release.
And then first-person shooter Get Even from the Farm 51 and Bandai Namco was supposedly going to be releasing like tonight, but it got delayed a full month to June 23rd due to the disgusting attack in Manchester that has killed, 22 people?
Yeah, 22 people.
So, that's absolutely disgusting that shit happened, but it's cool to see Namco and the Farm 51 putting a slight delay on the game to kind of distance themselves from the attack, considering it's a violent shooter that...
Yeah, well, apparently some of the... It was revealed that towards the beginning of the game, there's a teenage girl with a bomb strapped to her chest.
Oh, fun.
So it's not a surprise that they want to kind of step away from that for a minute.
Yeah.
Let it die down a little bit.
Anyway, last bit of news that I have for this week is the Xbox Game Pass has officially been announced to release June 1st. Xbox Gold members are able to do a preview of it right now. Everybody gets a free 14-day trial of the service, and then after that, it's going to be $9.99 a month. Access to over 100 games. I think at launch, there's 112?
Something like that.
There are... I'm kind of disappointed in the ratio of games. There are 40 Xbox One games available in the lineup and 72 Xbox 360 games.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of confusion on that, too, because there's been some confusion with the BioShock games, because in the actual page for the Xbox Game Pass, it shows the 360 ones, but if you search it up in the store for the Xbox One versions, you can download them for free with the Game Pass.
So,
which is really interesting.
43 and 69.
Yeah. You can also download the 360 version. So it's like, it's technically the same games, but you can download them on either system.
Then it's really 43 weird. And 72.
Yeah. It's really weird.
still, it's kind of disappointing that there's so many more 360 games in the lineup than Xbox One games.
I'm more so disappointed with the huge amount of past games with gold. There's a lot of game with gold titles and rare replay.
I totally understand, because this isn't meant for people who buy all the games that come out. Clearly, this is meant for more casual gamers and ideally new Xbox gamers who are just getting a console.
Yeah, it really makes sense for people that don't have a lot of money. That's like $10 a month. That's really good to get access to that many games.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good stuff on there. Let's see. Yeah. I'll just point out some of the good stuff that we've covered on the show. Blood Bowl 2, Book of Unwritten Tales 2, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Electronic Super Joy, which, you know, I did a trailer for.
Yeah, you. I knew you'd be excited about that, and Jump Jet Rex
There's another one I did a trailer for. iDarb, Night Squad, Cube, Layers of Fear, Lumo, Max, The Curse of the Brotherhood.
Such a good Ollie Ollie, game.
Payday 2, Crime Wave Edition, Pumped BMX, Screamer. I'm excited about Screamer. I like that game. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse.
Yeah, I want to give that game a try now that it's in there.
Super Mega Baseball, which is fucking awesome. And even some bigger, fairly AAA titles in there, like Devil May Cry Definitive Edition, Gears Ultimate Edition, Halo 5 Guardians, Halo Spartan Assault, although that's more indie than AAA. Yeah. Mad Max, NBA 2K16, WWE 2K16, Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, I don't know what to consider Halo Spartan Assault. It really isn't indie either. There's like a mix of like, it's not AAA, it's not indie, it's just like A. It's an A game.
It's an indie level game. It's not an actual, like, indie-developed game, but indie-level.
Saints Row 4 re-elected, too, so... Yeah.
So there is a good list of games, and we didn't even talk about any of the 360 stuff. But it's...
Yeah, there's some fairly decent games. I picked it up, and I'll be playing some of the games. I'm interested to finally experience Bioshock. I haven't done that.
Oh, there you go.
And Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons is still very expensive, so I'm gonna get the easy completion out of that.
It's what, $20?
$25.
Is it?
Yeah, for a 4-hour game, it might have gone down to 20, but when it launched, it was 25, and I was just like, I don't think I can pay that much for the game. Yeah, now it's $20.
Physical version for 20 in stores, so.
Yeah, no, it's $20 now in the Xbox store, but when it launched, it was 25.
Yeah,
it was just. That's a lot of money.
Out of the entire list of 112 games, 115 games possibly, I don't own three of them.
There's a lot more that I don't own, but most of those games are because I just wasn't interested, and I won't buy a game if I'm not interested in it.
No.
There's a couple, though, that I wanted.
I don't own Blood Bowl, which Chris does, and he actually reviewed it for the show way back when. I don't own Farming Simulator. And I don't own NBA 2K16.
Which, who cares?
With everything else I fucking own.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall, I think it's a pretty solid lineup of games. Let's just see how it goes month to month. I would like to see, it would be nice to see more stuff added that I don't personally already own. Because, I'll do the 14-day trial to, like, check out, might finally give Farming Simulator a shot. But otherwise, I don't really have a use for it yet.
And so far, I'm a little bit disappointed in the fact that the DLC is supposed to be at a 10% discount. However, that doesn't seem to be working for Xbox 360 stuff. Neither does the 20% discount on the games.
I'm wondering if the discount might only apply to Xbox One stuff.
I'm thinking that's the case, because it might not be able to tie in with the store for 360. Yeah. Since technically you don't get the games on the Xbox One when you buy it through the 360, it's just that the internet thing, app thing, opens up.
So, who knows? I don't fucking know. I don't know anything. So
Still, it's worth a try. I hope next month they add a few more games that I don't own. Maybe Meet the Robinsons and Cars 2. Get a couple more easy completions out of it.
That's
probably what I'll use it for most.
We'll see. I don't know. Are there any Disney games in there right now?
I don't think so.
Then I don't know if I would put much faith in any joining.
Yeah, but you never know. They could show up eventually. There's plenty of developers that aren't in there yet that could be.
True. Guess we'll see. It's a waiting game.
Yep.
Latino Heat, while you own a lot of games. Dude, you don't even know. You don't even know. Yeah, I have problems.
Yeah, you do.
And then there's the whole Rock Band issue.
Yeah, that's true as well.
This week I bought Bob Marley Pack 01, which was the last one.
Oh, you now have everything?
Yes.
Oh, how were you able to get the Bob Marley Pack? Wasn't that delisted or something?
No. Bob Marley Pack is still... There are 5 songs that were delisted that I can't get.
Oh, okay. But I thought you meant, like, you found somebody that had a code for the delisted stuff and you were able to actually get it.
God, I wish. I wonder if the guys at Harmonix have a way of, like, yeah, we have codes laying around for those.
That would be awesome. Be able to be like...
I highly doubt it, but...
Especially at this point. Like, yeah. It's been a while.
I would love to go back in time and just... Well, they're going away. I better get them now. Because now they're gone.
You never know that stuff, though.
They are gone forever. But yeah, aside from those 5.
Oh, well, you still have plenty of songs to play.
Yeah, I think I'll be okay. And then they've been slowly bringing back some of the old delisted stuff. If you already owned it, you are now able to play the majority of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik album, some of the System of a Down songs returned, the Metallica pack came back. So they're not available for sale, but if you already bought them, you are now able to play those in Rock Band 4.
Oh, that's cool.
So progress is being made, which is a positive. Oh,
maybe,
man.
They'll be able to renew the licenses for some of them.
I doubt it, especially the Metallica stuff. I don't see that ever happening again. Fucking Activision, they had to screw it all up.
Yeah, Activision screws up a lot of shit.
They do.
I hate Activision.
Anyway, we have some games to give away.
Yeah, we do. Well, we do.
Yes. We have a handful of codes for Narcosis to give away. And we have 10 emails of people wanting this game. And my cats are going to keep just jumping on the desk as this show goes along, aren't they? God damn it, cats.
Make it real easy to read.
Yes, get off the desk if you're just going to hiss at the other cat already on the desk, you asshole. Oh. Anyway, Narcosis, we asked you on Twitter to send us an email and tell us your deepest, darkest fears of the ocean. Yeah, we wanted to have some fun with this one. It wasn't just very telling specific. Us why you want a game. You got to earn this one.
What if you didn't have a fear of the ocean?
Then you're not getting the fucking game. That easy.
What if you creatively said that anybody that did have it was a pussy?
Then I don't know. I guess we'll find out because we have 10 emails to go through. Our first one is from Daniel McCammon, who says, my biggest fear about the ocean is the lack of knowledge. We know more about the infinite space around our planet than we do about what lurks down below. That is some scary stuff. So not only does it get dark, but the pressure will kill you, and there's God knows what waiting down there to chew faces.
That's a good one. I mean, not knowing is a pretty scary thing.
Fear of the unknown, which, yeah, that's some scary shit to think about.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna see a lot of those, though.
Probably. Next up is John Harvey, who says, I'd love to win Narcosis on Xbox One because I ain't ever going under the ocean IRL. Underwater might as well be an alien world. There's things down there that you don't want anything to do with. Everything has spines or claws or spikes or poison, is dripping with toxins or has teeth the length of your head. Too many creepy things, especially jellyfish. Jellyfish shouldn't be allowed. just allowed. Floating about with their long, stingy bits, just waiting on unsuspecting Scottish kids to kick them. Because, well, I was a kid and I didn't know any better. I can still remember the weird purple veins it had. Stupid thing. Anyway, thanks for the chance and good luck to everyone who enters. P.S. Thanks again for the Demon's Crystal code the other day. So.
Scared of some jellyfish, eh?
Fucking jellyfish. Next email from Daniel N., who says, my deepest, darkest ocean fear is slowly being torn apart limb by limb by the biggest great white shark in the ocean, and having that great white shark being eaten by an even bigger megalodon shark. Getting eaten twice is the biggest by the biggest predators of the ocean. What a bloody, disgusting way to go. Eaten by shark. Shark eaten by bigger shark.
That's pretty funny. It's scarier, the fact that the murderer just got murdered.
Very true. Next up is Michael Brody, who says, I need to remember to type your email out. He apparently just previously sent the email to the smlpodcast@gmail. He forgot the .com, but he forwarded on and says, hey.
Gmail should know.
I don't know.
It's easy.
Says, hey, I was thinking about this game since the day the devs were on the stream. It's definitely on my wish list. Win or not, I will pick it up eventually. Now, why am I scared of water? I'm not too much, as most water I've been in isn't too deep, but I am scared of deep water and the unknown way below. Specifically, the scene from Dances with Wolves where suddenly he looks in the water and sees a deer head looking back at him with open eyes. I am scared to this day that could be in the water by the dock. So far, I've yet to see it. Anyways, I am not lying. Not too creative, because it's the truth. The deer head from Dances with Wolves.
That's funny.
Next up is Rob Hester, who says, I was once out surfing and waiting for a wave when something brushed up against my leg that felt like sandpaper. I freaked out and hauled ass back to the shore and never went back in the water and left about an hour or so later. That night, I see on the news that the same beach I was at, someone was bit by a bull shark. Ever since that day, I have not gone back surfing. Wasn't really good at it anyways. And even when I snorkel out at the reefs, I tend to freak out thinking a shark will show up around me.
That's a legitimate fear. That would be scary to touch one.
May have been touched by a bull shark. Oh, man. Next one is from Francisco Doral, who says, fam, 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 fam. I'm entering for my brother on this one because horror games give me constipations the size of a 9-month-old baby. I asked my brother for a deep fear related to the ocean, and he said he's afraid of all the fish who would like a word with him about all the times he went to the beach as a kid and peed in the ocean. And on more than one occasion, took a shit, too. brother scared of fish, pissed about his piss. Next one is from Crumb Donut, who says, hi, my biggest fear about the ocean is the fear of drowning. The panic of not being able to breathe, and when your lungs gasp for air, you are greeted with water instead. There is no escape. It is truly frightening. Although that notion is really scary, you got me intrigued by the Narcosis game during your stream. It sounds like a thought-provoking game and hammy for the win. Fucking hammy. So scared of drowning, which I absolutely agree with that one.
Rather drown than be burnt alive, though.
Man, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. I've thought about it too many times. I made the decision. Drowning seems easier. Apparently you pass out pretty quickly.
I don't know. Anyway, next email is from Robert Mertens, who says, hi there. Okay, that is not my deepest fear, but a very crazy dream from last week. I stand on the tower bridge and I look down to the water to see my dad swimming in the blue water, and then I fall down, but I don't know why. Very crazy dream. Thanks for a chance to win. crazy dream about falling in the ocean with his dad.
That's an interesting dream.
Next,
that's more of a fear of gravity than water, though.
There's water down there. Anyway, next email is from Aroto Tomato, one of our big constant winners. Let's see. He says, my deepest ocean fear used to be Cthulhu, but that was a long time ago. Now I think it's the S Club 7. Remember them? You just know that's where they are now. Send shivers down my spines. Who would win in a fight, Cthulhu or the Loch Ness Monster? I think Cthulhu.
I'm not that familiar with Cthulhu. Like, I know the name, but I don't really know what it is.
So, he's scared of S Club 7, I guess.
I don't know what that means.
A fucking girl band.
I thought it was a band. It made sense, but I was like...
And final email is from Glauk Velici. Hopefully I said that right. Hey guys, you have almost 1,000 followers on your Twitter account. GG. Actually, at one point we were over 1,000, but I think a bunch of bot accounts got deleted and we dropped back down. But I think we're once again back over 1,000.
Hopefully this time without a bunch of bots.
Oh, there's always going to be bots.
Yeah, but hopefully there's less of them.
Let's see. Twitter is saying right now that we are at 1,001.
Ooh, so, one more person's followed us since that email.
Yeah. So, you have almost 1,000. Good, GG. One of my deepest ocean fears would have to be the Calmar giant, as we say in French, the colossal or giant squid in English. When I was a kid, I used to read many stories in science magazines about the species, but not only the colossal squid, there are also other deep-sea creatures like the anglerfish or the black swallower. This is terrifying to know these species can live more than 3,000 feet below the surface in the midnight zone, where everything is dark. This is scary and fascinating at the same time. Sorry for my English. My first language is French. Thank you for the chance. Narcosis looks like a good game to play.
I think it was better written than Francisco's.
Well, Francisco was the one his brother worried about the fish.
Yeah. He also said fam a lot, which I think is why he won the last one. That's why he did it. Because I was great use of fam.
So we have 10 entries and 6 codes.
Yeah. We definitely have 6 codes.
So we have some work to do here. It weird to say, but I think I'm gonna DQ Aroto on this one, since S Club 7 isn't really an ocean fear.
I didn't find it as entertaining as his normal ones.
I know.
I gotta agree.
Usually funnier.
Yeah, but crossed out. <He's>
S Club 7. I don't fucking know.
It's really weird. I mean, it was a good attempt, but sorry.
So let's see here. We have Daniel McCammon, who has a fear of what is there, the unknown below the ocean. John Harvey, who says fucking jellyfish. Daniel N., who's worried about being eaten by a shark and then the shark being eaten by a bigger shark. Swizzlers, who was freaked out by the deer head from Dances with Wolves. Rob Hester, who may have been touched by a bull shark as a kid. Francisco, whose brother is scared of the fish that he pissed off from peeing in the ocean as a kid. Crumb Donut, who's scared of drowning. Rob Mertens, who had a crazy dream about falling in the ocean with his dad. And then Glauk, worried about the giant squid. Do you have any that you absolutely want to award a code for the game?
There's 4 people that I really liked. I really like Daniel N's. The fish or the shark getting eaten by another shark is
I agree there.
I'm also really, I think that being touched by a bull shark earned a code. That's a scary event.
Sounds good.
I think the funniest entry was the fish being peed on from Francesco.
I wasn't too sold on that one. We'll have to debate that one.
And then Crumb Donut, because that was a different answer from everybody else's, and it is actually very scary.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. I agree with the other 3 you mentioned. I like Glauks with the giant squid because I am fascinated by giant squid and just those in general.
Yeah, I think that's a good one too. Giant squid was a different answer from everybody else as well.
And then we have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more, but only 2 codes. Oroto is out. So I'm not a fan of Rob's with the crazy dream.
Yeah, I was going to say that one's not really going to win it for me either.
The deer head, I'm not too sold on that one.
No, I wasn't into that one too much. I also liked the fuck jellyfish. I thought that was pretty neat.
I kind of like John and Daniel McMahon, the fear of the unknown.
I can live with that.
I think I would rather take being stung by a jellyfish and just the fear of the unknown than being worried about fish possibly being pissed off at you.
Yeah, I just found that one funnier.
It was funny. I think the others are legitimate fears.
Well, I can definitely, especially, I think John Harvey's is pretty entertaining, too.
Yeah, that sucks to have kicked a jellyfish when you're a kid.
Yeah.
But I think Fear of the Unknown just encapsulates what the challenge was of telling us what fears you have about the ocean, and that encapsulates everything, not knowing what is there. And I think I'd have to go with the Fear of the Unknown over a brother peeing in the ocean.
Alright.
So
I can roll with that.
Sorry, Francesco. Maybe next time, but our winners are Daniel McMahon, Daniel N., John Harvey, Rob Hester, Crumb Donut, and Glauk Velici, which I'm sure I ruined that name horribly.
Oh, he's not going to care. He won a game.
Apologies to everyone we didn't pick. This was a very, very tough contest to do, and I'm happy that we're able to award so many people copies of the game to begin with.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Hopefully they all enjoy it.
So yeah, congrats to everybody for winning, and sucks to those who didn't. We will have more giveaways coming up. I actually got a really, really cool giveaway that we'll be doing probably in like 2 weeks or so. 3 codes, 3 Steam keys for one of the games we're reviewing tonight, which we will kick things off with. We're going to lead off with Portal Knights, developed by Keen Games, published by 505 Games. It released May 23rd on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. A physical gold edition is available as well for $29.99. Leave the familiar world behind and step into the fantastic unknown with Portal Knights. Play with your friends in this action-packed crafting adventure across 3D sandbox worlds. Craft your adventure, forge your hero, become the ultimate Portal Knight. So, CJ, why don't you lead off with what you thought about this one? Because I know we both covered this, both played it.
Yes, we did. Well, the basic term I would use for Portal Knights is think Minecraft, but with more of a goal in mind.
Action RPG.
Yeah. There's more to actually do in this game. Starting off, I was enjoying it. We played some multiplayer for a few hours that day, like a surprising amount. And the basic premise is just to go from world to world, exploring, killing monsters, getting treasure, and crafting new items so that you can get to the next world and kill the more powerful enemies and eventually make it to a boss. And then try to take that boss on. I know that the boss fight we did was really epic. Yeah. I really enjoyed the boss fight. I thought that was really cool and the different mechanics for it. I wish there was more boss fights in the game because I would like to just keep killing bosses. I do feel like on the worlds there are too many enemies. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that it would be cool if there was less. Just because while this game is sandbox and you can craft and build homes and stuff like that, with the amount of enemies in the way, it just gets frustrating. You don't really have all that much room to create without having to constantly deal with enemies trying to kill you.
See, I think there's more of a focus in this game on the action RPG with crafting elements than a crafting game with action RPG elements.
Yeah, I had hoped that it would be a little bit more the other way around, because the game looks like it, especially, I mean, if you look at the screenshots on Steam, it shows big buildings and crafted homes, so I don't think it's like completely out of the focus.
I see, but a lot of that stuff is pre-made in the game, in the worlds that you go to. Like, you can find a world that has a sprawling castle in there that you have to explore and clear out monsters. I don't think the point of the game is to create those sprawling castles or these gigantic houses. Like, there's been worlds where, you know, there's a house there that I would just make my house, and then you can, you know, do some minor crafting or clear stuff out or decorate, because there's a handful of different crafting tables in the game, one each for the three different classes you can be in the game, which is like a warrior, an archer, and a mage.
Yeah, we both went with warrior.
Yeah, and then there's...
I'm feeling like that was a bit of a mistake. It feels like, I think the ranger would have been an easier class to play.
You can always do another character if you want.
Yeah, that requires restarting.
They also have an anvil to craft weaponry. They have one to create like furniture and housing stuff, like beds and closets and stuff like that. It's just, I think the biggest focus of the game is meant to be the action RPG elements, and it's not meant to be Minecraft where you're building these gigantic sprawling houses and whatnot. I mean, I can kind of see in some areas where there's too many enemies, although there have been worlds where I kind of, you know, I just circled around looking for more enemies.
Yeah, I haven't had that issue. Every world I'm on, I'm like, all right, and now there's 20 guys in front of me. Like, why?
I know in some of the more difficult areas, I have run into times where, you know, I'll get ganged up by like four enemies at once, which could be kind of irritating, especially if it's a level I'm just kind of able to handle, and then you get overwhelmed and you're shipwrecked.
Yeah. The events in the game are pretty cool, though. I ran into another event earlier today when I was playing that was, it filled the entire world with, like, it replaced all the enemies with, like, skeletons.
Oh, nice.
And the goal was to just kill a bunch of skeletons, and you would complete the quest. I'm not really sure how the rewarding works for that, because it doesn't really... I just didn't notice anything happen. Like, the quest was just gone, and I didn't notice if I got any XP or not for it.
Yeah, I'd assume sure I got some. I think there's a... God damn, your fucking mic. God, that hurts my ears when that happens. Like, you've really got to figure out what the fuck that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't do anything about it either.
Got to figure it out, man. Got to figure out what the hell's going on. It's just like... You should listen to an episode and hear what the hell it does.
I can just record it. I don't have to listen to an episode to do that.
But, I think one of the downsides of the game is that things are a little too vague.
Yeah.
Like, you start the game and it, you know, it has a decent tutorial teaching you how to create stuff, how to explore and kill enemies and mine and craft. And then after that, it's just you go from world to world and there's no set goals in the world. You just show up, you kill stuff, you mine stuff if there's stuff there you need, and then you find portals to go to another world. Every now and then you might find inhabitants of the world who might give you a quest. They might not.
Yeah.
They might just be like, hi, you're here.
Or, hey, I don't need you. Screw off.
Yeah. You know, occasionally one will give you a quest of like, hey, kill X number of these enemies, and then they'll give you some experience and money, or I lost my wand, craft me a new one.
Yeah, stuff that like kind that. Of stuff.
But it just seems like there's a lot of aimless nothing in the game, which is a bummer because I really enjoy the action RPG elements. I enjoy the crafting. It's not, it doesn't beat you over the head with having to craft things, but it is there. Like, you could craft better weapons, better armor. You can build a house if you want, if you have that much time that you just want to build a new house and decorate it with furniture and goodies, and, you know, some quests, they might reward you with trophies that you could hang on the wall, stuff like that. But it just feels like there's a lot of aimless jumping from world to world with not much story tying it together.
Yeah, I will say I was a little bit disappointed with it. I feel like there's just not enough to actually do. Like, I get that you can craft stuff and kill enemies, but aside from that, there's not anything else to really go for. You just upgrade your stuff, and you get better and better stuff, and then that's it.
I don't know. It is really enjoyable. Like, I had a lot... I'm just straight up addicted to the game, where every now and then I'll fire it up and see if there's any events going on, take care of those, try improving the weapons I have. It's helpful that when you're looking for certain materials or certain enemies that have certain other materials that you need, when you're in the world selection map, when you highlight one of the islands, you can hit the bumpers and see what enemies are there or what ores are there and materials you could pick up there, which is helpful. Like, if you're looking for obsidian ore, you'd be like, oh, I could just go to this planet or this island, whatever. I think they're supposed to be islands, but they...
Yeah, they are islands, but it does seem like they're just more like planets.
Yeah. I think my other biggest gripe with the game is the combat is very, very basic.
Yes, it is.
There's just hold button to attack. And I'm going to assume it's because we went with just warriors who...
Yeah, possible that the mage might have more going on.
Yeah, they might have... I believe they have different spells that you could pick and craft and stuff there. But for the most part, with the warriors, it's just... select a weapon and hold the trigger to attack.
Yeah, and then sometimes press A to dodge roll.
Yeah. I wish there were, like, special attacks you could do, or, like, I don't know. Even Trove had, like, spinning attacks and dash attacks and just things to mix it up instead of just holding the trigger to attack constantly. I mean, they do have a multitude of various weapon types, so if you prefer the quickness of a one-handed sword, you have that, or if you have a two-handed axe, is slower but stronger.
And I noticed the way you were playing was a little bit different too. When we were playing as the warriors, you never moved out of the way of attacks. You just healed.
Yeah.
And then kept attacking. Whereas I would whenever I saw an enemy charging up an attack, I'd press A and dodge out of the way and then go back to them.
It would depend on the enemy. If it was a weak enemy that I know I could take some hits and not worry about it, I would do it. If it was a bigger enemy who could just wreck me hard, I'll do a couple attacks and then dodge and hit him from behind and...
It depended as well on, like, our level, because once we got to a certain level, it was no longer an issue of losing health, because you could stand still for 5 seconds and get all your health back.
Yeah, but although you can't do that in battle, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get out of it, but it wasn't, like, as big of a deal if you lost health while killing an enemy, because you could just wait a few seconds and there's your health back.
Yeah.
I will say that the upgrading system is pretty cool, but I did have one other issue with it. The upgrading only seems to work for the stuff that's specific to your class. Like, I tried to upgrade my agility as the warrior character, and it didn't up my speed at all. Like, my current speeds stay the same.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that was the case. Like, you'd think that agility would be an overall thing for everybody, and it's not. So I just kind of wasted 2 skill points, which I was a little bit disappointed with.
That is kind of weird. And then they, you know, even as a warrior, you're able to, like, increase magic, which, you know,
is really pointless. You can't use it. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, why is that even an option?
Yeah. It's such a fun, addictive game, but there's just these little things that, you know, keep me from absolutely loving it. As it stands, though, I still really, really like it, and I really, really like going back and playing it more. The online worked really well. We didn't have any kind of issues with that. I think
for a couple of lag spikes, but that was about it.
You live with like 40 people, so.
Well, six other people, but yeah.
Still, Jesus. overall, I have to give it a very high recommendation. It's just missing that little bit in terms of depth of combat, and a general like plot holding everything together to keep it from a buy it. But I still think if you've got the $20, and especially if you've got a friend or two to play with, it's absolutely worth checking out.
Yeah, you definitely seem to like it more than I did. I think that the problems hold it back a little bit more for me. I would only give it like a regular try it, not a recommended try it. Like, I think it's still a good enough game to warrant playing a little bit, but I wouldn't recommend picking it up right away. Maybe wait for patches and see what goes on.
Yeah, I'm eager to see what they add to the game as it goes on. So if they add more in terms of like more areas to visit or a deeper combat system,
more bosses would be very appreciated.
Yeah, that worm boss is pretty cool.
Yeah, I do like the bosses. I wish that was the depth of combat for more regular enemies, because if you had to do like stuff like that to kill enemies, that actually felt like there was a real boss battle instead of just spamming the RT button.
Yeah. Overall, though, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And if you're interested in checking it out, make sure to keep listening to our show, because we are going to have 3 Steam keys to give away, which is cool as shit.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
3.
Yeah, that's 3. A lot of codes, especially for considering a lot of our audience isn't Steam users, so you can almost guarantee you might get one.
Yeah. So, anyway, next game to talk about is called Shadow Warrior 2, developed by Flying Wild Hog, published by Devolver Digital. It released May 19th on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99, previously available and reviewed by you on Steam.
Yep.
Shadow Warrior 2 is the stunning evolution of Flying Wild Hog's offbeat first-person shooter, starring the brash warrior Lo Wang, who must again wield a devastating combination of guns, blades, magic, and wit to strike down the demonic legions overwhelming the world. You considered this, what, your 2016 Game of the Year?
Yeah, I don't want to diminish it by saying I didn't get to play a lot of AAA games that year, but I definitely, of all the games I played, I felt that that was my favorite game of that year. And I did get to play a lot of games, just they weren't all the AAA. Yeah. I did rate it my Game of the Year for 2016.
Well, I can definitely see why. The game is basically fairly standard first-person shooter with a lot of melee elements. You can switch basically on the fly between swinging around swords, dual-wielding swords, using a fucking chainsaw, or then switch over to anything from like a revolver or an AK or a shotgun, which I'm having a blast with the shotgun. Get it? Or
yeah.
even shit like a bow and arrow you can use in this game. Each of the weapons is able to be imbued with up to 3 different upgrade items through the game. And at first I wasn't sure like how often you would find upgrades or, you know, what all they would do. The upgrades are like poured on you constantly in this game.
Yeah, they are. You're constantly getting new ways to fix up your guns.
And which leads me to one of my first issues with the game, is that when you have a weapon that is already filled with upgrades, it is very difficult to conveniently replace an upgrade.
I feel like that was an issue mainly due to the fact that they didn't change up the menu enough for a console. Like, on PC, that was fine because you could switch around very easily using the mouse and keyboard, but a controller...
Well, my biggest issue is, unless I'm missing it, you can't see what weapons certain upgrades are good for.
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I played the game to tell you that.
Like, it feels like some upgrades can only be used on some weapons, but it.
Some ones are certain to some weapons, yes.
But it.
But I didn't think there was that many.
Tell you. And then something I didn't realize at first is if you pick, you can imbue weapons with certain elemental damage between like poison, electricity, fire, ice. Once you equip one of those, it basically blocks out any other element from being equipped to that weapon, which makes sense, but I didn't realize that at first. If you do want to swap any kind of upgrade on the weapon, you can't do it through the upgrade section. You have to go through the weapon section, and from there, you can use the right analog stick to switch between the three upgrades, and then you have to remove it and then pick a new one. I just wish there was an easier way to quickly, like, looking through the upgrade list, be like, oh, I want to put this on something, and then from there pick what weapon you want it on and pick what you want to replace it with, instead of having to unequip and then go back and
there are a definitely little bit some, convoluted. There was definitely some annoyances with the menu system.
Combat, though, Jesus Christ, this game is fast, it's fluid, and it is over-the-top ridiculously crazy.
Yeah. Just, I heard that you said you were loving the shotgun, which makes no sense to me, because I literally never used anything aside from melee weapons. Like, I tried the guns, and it's just like, these are inferior in every way. And I just stuck to melee the entire game.
See, I tried a few different guns, and a lot of them... like, if you're fighting smaller enemies, things like the rifles or the pistols are going to be useless because they have such a small target area. Although, if you're fighting bigger enemies, they're easier to hit with guns like that. But the shotgun has such a wide spread that if there's a bunch of enemies running at you, just switch to the shotgun, pull the trigger a few times, and it's just blowing the shit out of things.
Perhaps. Maybe I didn't get the right shotgun, because it is all random drops. So it's possible I got a crappy shotgun.
Possibly.
But I noticed for me, it was just like, it was way easier to just dash around and keep hitting with melee attacks and then backing up and dashing around.
Yeah.
Because you can dash so quickly.
Yeah. I know a lot of guns that have melee and shooting, they, you know, it's pretty much always a focus on shooting once guns are, even like the Dead Island games, once guns got involved, you never went back to melee stuff. Where with this game, melee is always going to work for you.
Yeah, it is.
And even better is like when you have the, like the whirlwind attack or like the heavy thrust that you can charge up. It is just so satisfying to slice the shit out of things in this game.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really fun. I had a question for you about it.
Okay.
Because I heard from a friend who has been playing it on Xbox that there's some frame rate issues on Xbox. Is that true? Were you running into frame rate issues?
I haven't noticed anything, but I'm not one who is very good at determining, like, if something drops from 30 to 25.
Oh, I mean, like, he was saying that it would drop to 5 frames per second sometimes.
I didn't see anything like that in my time with it. And I've had times where I was fighting, like, 15 enemies at once.
Oh, okay.
So
that makes sense. Well, that friend is Shiz, by the way. Just so you know. So I don't know why I kept saying my friend, because it's like, you know him too. It's not like it's...
I mean, it's possible unknown. That he's running into things, like if he is using certain weapons or certain...
And maybe it has to do with co-op as well, because he was playing the game in co-op.
Oh, well, then I'm sure that's possible as well, where connection issues could come into play and lag could come into play and having the game to process two different people at once. I have not tried the online, so I can't verify.
Yeah, neither can I. I played the game solo.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know that Shiz was playing it, so...
Yeah, he was streaming it a few days, and I was watching, and there was definitely some frame rate issues while I was watching it, but I just assumed it was probably chopped up to lag, or it's just the fact that the Xbox just isn't as powerful.
I'm sure issues. Overall the game is going to perform a lot better on the PS4 and the PS4 Pro, and PC, clearly. Everything's going to perform better on PC. But visually and performance-wise, I didn't run into anything really noticeably bad. I didn't have any problems. again,
well, that's cool.
Again, it could just be like I didn't use the same combination of attacks or abilities that Shiz did, and
that's true.
You know, that's the beauty of games like this, where not everyone's going to do the same thing.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to play the game that it's very possible that you'll never play the same way he does.
Was he running into those with guns or with melee?
If I remember correctly, he was using melee.
Yeah, I'm not sure then. Because I'd imagine
But he was using the dual swords that would, when you would attack, they would actually like send out slashes. Like you weren't so actually that's like
still kind of a gun.
It's like a half and half. Yeah. Where you could use it as a melee or a
Yeah, gun. I haven't really messed with that much. When I do melee, I would pretty much just stick with the basic sword, or every now and then I'll pop out the chainsaw. But I haven't messed with those swords, so it's possible that the mixture of the dual swords plus the projectile there plus whatever else is happening is taxing the system too much. So it's a your mileage may vary kind of deal.
That's possible.
Gameplay, I enjoy the fact that there's a decent amount of like open world elements where you can pick up missions or side missions and then jump from area to area and, you know, just murder things and look around for secrets and collectibles, and just it is so open and so much stuff to do in the game, and it's just so ridiculously funny and over the top. I mean, it's a game where their promotional materials were talking about getting more Wang.
Yeah.
So
well, this game has great comedy, so yeah
it is hilarious game, satisfying action. I can absolutely see why you consider this one of your games of the year for, or the game of the year for last year. $40 might feel steep to some people, but if you actually sit down and see the content in the game, it is absolutely worth the cost of admission. And I know
I see this game is like, it's not AAA, but it feels like a AAA game. That's how good it is.
Yeah, I can definitely agree there. I think Flying Wild Hog has an absolute winner. I am happy it came to console, and I am giving it an absolute buy it.
And I would completely agree with that.
It is absolutely awesome, and everybody should play this.
I think everybody should, as long as you don't have... I'm surprised this game didn't fuck with your motion sickness that you used to have, because, oof, this game...
Oh, I know, me too.
This game is a very, very, like, jumpy and just flying all over the place kind of game.
Everybody needs more Wang in their life.
They do.
Although
this game is just as floppy as a Wang.
I did change the POV to give it a wider view angle, so that might have helped as well.
Possibly.
But yeah, for $40, and I'm not even sure how long is the launch sale.
I have no idea, but it was a pretty decent deal. You get the first one as well.
I think I want to see how long the sale's going, because I don't want to tell people to get the bundle and then it's not available anymore.
Yeah, you know.
Oh my god, why is my browser acting all shitty now?
I'm trying to find it too. So.
This is riveting listening right now.
Yeah, this is so great that we keep we're just fucking around. All right, I'm almost there. My Microsoft page is loading up right now. So close. Lord. It's almost here. It's almost here. Very, very... 8 days remaining. You got time.
So you have a week left. It is $35. You get the first game as well. Jesus, that is such a good deal.
Yeah. The price for that bundle would normally be $70, and it's on a 50% sale.
Yeah, so... The full game by itself for $40 is worth it, or if you get it on the launch sale for $35 with the first game, it is an absolute no-brainer. So Shadow Warrior 2, buy this fucking game.
Absolutely.
Do it. Do it, do it, do it. Next game to talk about is called Spellspire, developed and published by 10 Tons. It released May 23rd on PS4, Vita, and Steam, May 26th on Xbox One for $9.99. Blast fiends by spelling words and collect gold dropped by slain monsters. Buy more powerful wands, hats, and robes with magical special effects and abilities. Power through tough encounters and boss fights with health potions, spell scrolls, and other magical items. Will you reach the top top of the spell spire, and what will you find?
Ooh. I'm immediately interested in this game because it looks very, very similar to LetterQuest.
Yes, it is incredibly similar to LetterQuest, where you start a stage and you are given a set of, I believe, 10 letters. And from there, you have to spell out words. The longer the word, the more damage it does. A lot of that will be dependent on your equipment as well. Like certain wands that you have may give more damage to, you know, 6-letter words or 3-letter words, or, you know, it just depends on, a lot of it comes down to the length of the word. It's not so much the letters you use, like in LetterQuest, where each letter would have a certain value. This is more based on the length.
That makes sense.
Size matters.
Yeah. Although you can't make as big of a word.
Hmm?
Well, I was just making the comparison that LetterQuest was 15 letters. This is 10.
Mm. Okay. It might have been 12. I can't remember. I'm too old.
No, it was 15, I think. Or six, possibly 16.
No, I'm talking about in Spell Spire.
Oh, no. Spell Spire, I'm looking at the screen right now. It's 10.
Okay.
Because I look at screenshots on Steam while we're talking about a game.
I don't have that luxury because my computer might explode. the biggest difference between Spell Spire and LetterQuest is definitely game length. LetterQuest, I was able to get through it and complete the game in a fairly quick amount of time, where Spell Spire is going to be a lot longer of an experience. The tower itself has, I believe, like 80 to 100 floors, something crazy like that, with a boss every 10. And then after you complete that, they also have a basement that you can go through as well.
Wow.
So there is a ridiculous amount of content in the game. Each stage also has like a second, more difficult version where the enemies are stronger and you have a special, like you have certain missions that you have to accomplish to complete the level. And most of them are beat it without getting hit, which is, you know, some of the stages you need to make sure that you are sufficiently leveled up. You do level up in the game and you level up your equipment and your items. It will eventually lead to some grinding where you're going to have to replay areas and try to save up money to get some of this stuff. You can sell items that you get through the stages. Every now and then an enemy might drop like a handful of different items, whether it's a healing potion or an offensive weapon or even something that it'll help you find, like the longest, say, 7-letter word that you haven't already found. Stuff like that.
Interesting.
Where you just use the item and then it plays the word. Something helpful in this game is they have a recall button where, say, you spell the word, you know, C-S-E-E.
Yeah.
You can hit the button and then it immediately brings those letters back. And you could put a D, so seed. And then you hit the button again, it brings back seed, and then you add another S for seeds or seeded, or it helps you make longer words consistently and quicker by letting you bring back your previous word and just build off it, or remove a letter and add a different letter instead of having to start fresh every time, which is definitely helpful. Some of the enemies in like the later stages in the game is brutally difficult. This is not a game that you are going to get 1,000 out of 1,000 on in like 3 days, like LetterQuest. That is for sure.
Yeah, well, I noticed that one thing that seems to make this game a lot more brutal is, I believe, if I'm correct, it looks like there's a timer for each letter or each word that you have to make in the middle of the screen. Like, you actually have amount of time that you're allowed to make a word.
Well, the timer is basically, it counts down until the enemy attacks.
All right, yeah, so you are a little bit more limited on time than just, like, taking turns in LetterQuest. In this game, you want to try to hurry up and make a fast word instead of just letting it sit there.
This is more about speed than sitting there and trying to think of the best words that you can make. You want to try to rapid fire as many as you can, and it even lets you cast spells and attacks before you're right up to an enemy. So there's definitely a grace period where you could be launching off words, hitting an enemy before you come face to face with them and the timer begins. And then a lot of the attacks, if it's powerful enough, it could go through and hit an enemy behind the one that you're attacking.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's, like I said, there's a lot to do in the game. There an insane amount of stages. If you are a fan of word games, this is an absolute must-own game. If things like Scrabble or Boggle scares you, don't touch this.
Yeah, this one definitely seems more intimidating.
But for someone like me, who I'm constantly playing Words with Friends every day and kicking people's asses in the game, like this, I love this game. It is exactly what I wanted. And it's, if you had fun with Letter Quest, you're going to enjoy this one as well. So for $10, if you're a fan of word games, buy it. If you are not a fan of word games, run.
Well, that sounds pretty damn cool.
Anyway, last game to talk about tonight is called Empathy, Path of Whispers, developed by Pixel Knight, published by Iceberg Interactive, released May 16th on Steam for $19.99. Empathy, Path of Whispers is an atmospheric and surreal adventure game where you explore a seemingly abandoned world through the emotions and memories of the people who once inhabited it, trying to restore the world's lost balance by journeying through its past. CJ, what did you think of Empathy?
Empathy is what is known as a walking simulator, an adventure puzzle game with little to no action, and I must say right off the bat, this is one of the best walking sims I've played. The gameplay is easy. As long as you can control the first-person camera, you can play this game. The main gameplay element that separates this game from others is the way you interact with items. There are no people in this game to interact with, and instead, every time you interact with an item, you hear dialogue from a person who was using the item in the past. Sometimes the item is relevant to the dialogue, sometimes it has nothing to do with it aside from them just being near the item at the time that they said something. Depending on the importance of an item, it may show up on your scanner. Items that show up on the scanner are related to the main plot point going on at that time, and there are less important items hidden around that don't show up on your scanner that give you just a little bit of extra information. When you interact with one of the important items, you have to do a little mini puzzle, which is just matching wavelengths. It's pretty easy, but offers a bit of a different approach to item interaction. The voice acting in this game felt rough at first. Accents seemed fake and a little wonky. Like, why did so many people from so many different places all live here? Like, there's a Russian accent and an Asian accent and I think, like, German accent. It's just different people from different places. But the more I played the game, the more I liked it, and it made sense. The accents didn't sound awful to me anymore, and that's always a bonus. The narrator is an amazing voice actor and is perfect for this role. He has a very calm voice that plays perfectly with the character's personality. The incredible voice acting made every bit of dialogue interesting, and I never wanted to miss any of it. I'd search through each area thoroughly for hidden items that would give more information. The writing did a great job of drawing you in and making you want to hear everything. The game's atmosphere is incredible as well. The game looks beautiful. The music also helps this game feel good to play. I can't get enough of it. Like, I'm serious when I say that this game is incredible looking. I just, like, it's not the most realistic as far as, like, the textures aren't perfectly made and whatnot, but the actual atmospheres themselves is incredible. The controls are interesting in this game. At first, I was a bit annoyed because there isn't official controller support, and there were no customization options for controls, so you had to play with WASD, or so I thought. Mm. I actually found that there is a setup for left-handed PC gamers that allows you to use the arrow keys. It just wasn't shown in-game. It turns out that these controls were added because somebody complained on the Steam forums about it. The devs responded quickly, and I commend them for fixing it.
That's cool.
Even if the controls are a bit odd, it's better than having to deal with WASD personally. Like, I cannot play with WASD, because a left-handed gamer is like, I mean, only on PC too. That's the only thing I'm left-handed with, but it's like, I cannot play right-handed. It kills me. I do have a couple of small problems. One was an issue where I was able to walk through the pipes in the building next to the broken down train. I assume it was just forgotten and needs an invisible wall put up, because I was able to just walk like right through it, even though it was like it wasn't even there. And then I was like walking around in a room that had nothing for me to do in it, just because I was like, well, this is weird. I walked through it and now I'm here. The other problem is just actually a small complaint that can't be fixed because it's a gameplay element. I think that the wavelength minigame gets repetitive, and while it's easy, it happens a bit too often because there are so many main plot point items to get that it just feels like having to do this every time, and it's like every 5 minutes, or not even every 5 minutes, it's like every 2 or 3 minutes. It just gets annoying. Overall, the price tag of at $20 is a bit high, but then I realized for a walking sim, that's actually kind of the standard price, and it has better length than some of the other walking sims out there. So, considering that, if you're a fan of walking sim games, I have to give this an absolute buy it.
Nice. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was a pretty damn good game. It's just, you know.
I wonder if there's any plans of that one eventually making a jump to consoles.
Hopefully, but I'd assume they had to get the controller support there first.
True. Yeah, I need my controller support.
So. Yeah, it would be really sucky if you couldn't play with the controller on console. No, but this game's really good. I do like it. I hope it does jump ship and you're able to play it.
Nice. I guess we'll see. But as it stands, I guess that's it for tonight.
I guess so.
A lot of good stuff, though. Shadow Warrior 2, holy shit, so good. And I don't know, I know you didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but I really enjoyed Portal Knights.
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed that I didn't enjoy it as much, because I was really looking forward to that game. Well, like,
maybe,
that was...
Maybe we
I was
should
gonna
play it some more, and it might click for you.
Maybe. Maybe get Purnell finally in it, considering he was supposed to play with us forever ago, and he didn't.
Yeah. Good stuff. But anyway, that's it for tonight. I have, as usual, I don't know what music I'm going to play. I don't even know why I address that anymore, because I just play music.
Find a song about an avocado.
Why?
Because avocados are the new meme, bro. Well, they're not new, but avocado toast.
Yeah, I don't know what the whole avocado thing going on was, but I don't give a shit, and I'm not going to give a shit.
I don't know. I found it stupid, but Shiz keeps mentioning it.
Well, there's a guy whose internet name is Shiz Blacka.
That's true.
So, take that as you will. I guess a reminder that people can check us out on the Twitters at the SML Podcast. We are doing some more Gleam giveaways. We're doing a giveaway for Dying Reborn Ultimate Bundle on PlayStation, which gets you the game on PS4, PS Vita, and the PSVR version. So all three in one code,
which is cool. Awesome.
We have only like 2 days left on that one as of the time this releases. And then we are also doing a giveaway for Elliot Quest on the Xbox One. And that has a couple more days to it. But
surprise news just came up.
What's that?
Alan Wake is now available on the Xbox Store again.
Interesting.
Yeah, don't know what's up with that. I just see that it's available now. So if you don't have that, grab it before it goes away again. Maybe it was just a mistake. Who knows?
Could have been. Yeah, I wonder if they fixed or if they addressed the licensing issues, because I know they said the main reason it was coming down was due to a music licensing issue.
Maybe they renewed the license.
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be nifty. Get a bunch of sales because, hey, it's going to go away.
Yeah, I know. I was one of those people.
And now it's back.
Bought it before it was gone, and now it's back here. But I didn't pay full price, so I don't care.
Good stuff. Oh, and then something else that you might be excited about. The Culling is hitting Xbox One next week.
You'd be surprised that I'm less excited than you think.
Really?
You know how much other games like that frustrate me. I didn't care much for, what was that game that I reviewed almost a year ago now? what was it? I can pull it up real quick. It was in my library under my old review games.
I just know you're an Evolve Shattered fan.
Shattered Skies. It's nothing like Evolve.
It's a battle royale game.
Yeah, but I don't like the games where you have to... You start with nothing. You got to go find shit, pick it up, and then as soon as you die, you lose everything and got to restart every time. I hate those.
That's the point of the game is you have to...
That's why I hate them. That's the point of the game. I'm not interested in it. get that that's the point. That just doesn't make me interested.
I thought you'd be excited about that one.
Well, you were surprised.
Oh, well. So, yeah, that's it for tonight. CJ, do you have any final words to end the show?
I'm going to leave you with some words of wisdom that I got messaged last night while playing Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Let's hear it.
Pussy, learn to steal the artifact, dumb bitch.